Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
And now, your daily dose of debate, breaking news, and uncensored views. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth, a great day when there is great evidence that the bulk of American opinion does support Israel in its war for security and survival and against maniacal terrorism. We'll get to that. We will also get to a literary and military expert for the Jerusalem Post, who talks about why the entire episode of striking back at Hamas has been working well to reestablish deterrence. There's also a column to that effect by Walter Russell Mead in the Wall Street Journal, which we will be covering. And we will be speaking about one of the dumbest ideas in public policy over the last generation, which is destigmatizing drug use, basically saying that, well, drug use is a normal part of life and we have to help people take their various recreational drugs and very destructive drugs safely, that if you do it safely, everything will be fine. We'll be speaking to two distinguished professors who have written a scathing piece in the Atlantic about how destigmatizing drug use has been a profound mistake. And also, is there some mystery that needs to be solved about the proliferation of globes? I'm not now talking about the Golden Globe Awards. So that's that's its own situation. And by the way, it's fascinating because I don't think there's ever been another time where the two movies that are absolutely dominant with the most nominations were released on the same day. Yes, of course, it's the Barbenheimer phenomenon, Barbie and Oppenheimer. We will get to that as well. But first off, the news strikes very close to home. It says that Israel's war erupts at sea, but this is threatening to drag in the U.S. With Israel expanding its offensive against the Palestinian Hamas movement in the south of the Gaza Strip, maritime attacks being conducted hundreds of miles away by a powerful Yemeni movement aligned with Iran, that's the Houthis, as they are generally known, mark a growing escalation with potential to drag the U.S. deeper into the conflict. The latest attack claimed today by the Ansar Allah movement, also known as the Houthis, saw an anti-ship missile strike a Norwegian-flagged tanker transiting the Red Sea off the coast of Yemen. They're attacking a Norwegian ship? Is Norway deeply involved here? Well, Norway is a proud member of NATO, but really, Ansar Allah military spokesman Yahya Sari announced that the brazen operation was conducted because the vessel was transporting crude oil to Israel, which the group has vowed to cut off from international shipping because of its actions in Gaza. The Yemeni armed forces will not hesitate to target any ship that violates what was stated in the previous statement, Sari said, portraying Ansar Allah's forces as the legitimate military of Yemen. Though the group's rule over much of the country remains internationally unrecognized in the midst of an ongoing and hideous civil war. By the way, the one thing about this and the involvement of the Houthis so much on the side of Hamas, this is one of the reasons that there are very smart people who look ahead and say that at the end of this war, which could be another 1 month, could be another 2 months, the That's the estimation from the secretary, the minister of defense in Israel, Yoav Gallant, who has been speaking about this. But part of what works here and why the Houthi attacks on American resources and attempting to attack Israeli resources, it's really forcing Israel and Saudi Arabia closer together. You may have heard that one of the reasons there is speculation that the Hamas decided to launch the devastating attack that they launched on October 7th was to try to block further reconciliation and cooperation between Israel and Saudi Arabia. And the whole idea of that cooperation is to stand up against Iran and Iran's allies. What Saudis have recognized, and Prince Mohammed bin Sultan, the de facto ruler of Saudi Arabia, has been very clear about this. They have recognized that their greatest enemy is not Israel. Their greatest enemy is Iran. And Israel has, according to Walter Russell Mead in the Wall Street Journal, Israel has actually benefited from uniting and showing its determination in the current conflict. Walter Russell Mead writes, Dateline Tel Aviv, "The Jewish state and the Zionist movement that sustains it is emerging from this crisis stronger than before. That's my conclusion after a week in Israel, traveling to the combat zones in the north and south, touring the Gaza area kibbutzim that were occupied by Hamas, and meeting with Israelis ranging from senior government officials to survivors of the October 7th attacks, struggling to put their lives back together. Israel is more united. Its citizens are more determined to fight for their state. And Jews around the world have renewed their commitment to the Zionist cause. I spoke to Israelis across the political spectrum, from leaders of the pre-October 7th protests against Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's government to senior officials in the war cabinet. I heard only commitment to supporting the government through the war. Politics isn't dead in Israel. Protests demanding Mr. Netanyahu's resignation have resumed, and profound disagreements bubble below the surface. But none of this affects the country's determination to prosecute the war. Israelis from all political camps are determined to put national security first when the war ends." By the way, this is very much the theme of a terrific article that my wife just completed, and which I had the opportunity to proofread and applaud. We're going to be posting it soon, but it's basically a summary of reports of people from very disparate backgrounds and people with different levels of religiosity uniting and coming together and going out of their way to support a larger cause. And the way that healthy countries do come together when they face profound and very difficult danger. The idea of ultra-religious, as they say, ultra-Orthodox people, Haredim in Israel, who have made it a point of pride that they are going to only be studying Torah and not serving in the military, have volunteered by the thousands for the military for the first time. It's a big deal in terms of changing Israel and looking to Israel's future. We'll talk about that coming up with a top military correspondent. In fact, he is the top military correspondent with the Jerusalem Post. His name is Yonah Jeremy Bob, and he wrote a terrific column about the idea of deterrence and what Israel has accomplished with this war. We will get to that and much more, including what's holding up Ukraine aid really in Congress. Is it the Republicans and their selfishness and political games, or does it go deeper than that? We'll get to that and much more on The Medved Show.
Your daily dose of debate.
Give me more.
The Michael Medved Show. 1-800-955-1776. The Michael Medved Show.
Well, just when you thought it couldn't get any better, MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. Back when MyPillow was invented, it had everything you could want in a pillow. Now, nearly two decades later, they've discovered a new technology that makes MyPillow even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with brand new fabric that is made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. Say goodbye to tossing and turning and flipping your pillow over in the middle of the night. And more great news on the MyPillow 2.0, buy one, get one free with promo code MEDVED. MyPillow 2.0 with its temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio podcast square to receive the MyPillow 2.0 buy one, get one free offer. Just when you thought MyPillow couldn't get any better, MyPillow 2.0 gives you the best pillow ever. Enter promo code MEDVED at MyPillow.com to get your MyPillow 2.0s today.
Why be held back by pain and difficulty and soreness and stiffness when Relief Factor is available and available so readily? You have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. It's just $19.95 for a three-week quick start, which can reduce the inflammation, it can reduce the pain, it can reduce the soreness and stiffness and make you feel better. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, michaelmedved.com, find the banner for Relief Factor. If you're troubled by Washington moving toward more government control, income taxes, rent control, and centralized decision-making, now is the time for you to take action. At Washington Policy Center, we want free market reforms that make Washington the best place to raise a family, to get a job, or to start a business. WPC is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. Get off the sidelines. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. That's WashingtonPolicy.org.
Wellness and self-care doesn't have to be complicated. So keep it simple and take good care of yourself with Sunny Bay heating pads. Our heating pads soothe pains in the neck, back, and shoulders while relaxing muscles and increasing blood circulation. Sunny Bay heating pads have always been made in the USA and hand-filled to perfection with the highest quality materials. Sunny Bay heating pads are the perfect wellness gift for loved ones or yourself. See all of our high-quality products at sunny-bay.com, including heated body pads, neck pillows, heated neck and body wraps, and our stress-reducing lavender line. They're all affordable, durable, and in stock now and ready for immediate shipping direct from sunny-bay.com. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews at sunny-bay.com or just search for Sunny Bay Heating Pad. To your good health and wellness from Sunny Bay.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only four missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling three-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Michael Medved Show, President Biden has been meeting with President Zelensky of Ukraine. We will get to that and the question of Ukraine aid, which is currently stalled in the Congress of the United States. Meanwhile, the war goes on in Gaza, and it is a war that Walter Russell Mead, writing in the Wall Street Journal, says is going reasonably well. He was just there inspecting the sites of battle. Someone who is also there, lives there, works there, is our very special guest, whose name is Yonah Jeremy Bob. He is a senior military reporter, also a literary editor at the Jerusalem Post. And he wrote a powerful piece in the journal about the message being sent by the war so far, not just to Hamas and its supporters, but to the far more formidable forces of Iran and Hezbollah. Jeremy, or Yonah Bob, thank you very much for joining us on the show.
Glad to be here.
First of all, what is the message being sent to hostile forces in the region, particularly including Iran and Hezbollah?
The message is that Israel has been playing defense for well over a decade, you could say 15 years, almost 20 years. All the emphasis has been on, you know, the Iron Dome missile system, the Arrow Dome missile system. How can Israel protect its home front from Hamas in Gaza, from Hezbollah in Lebanon, from Iran's ballistic missiles, now from the Houthis in Yemen's ballistic missiles, without going big time on offense? And now Israel's big time on offense. It's already pretty much defeated Hamas in Gaza City, in northern Gaza, which was Hamas's main headquarters. I was in one of, we could say, the main headquarters, the underground tunnels of Shifa Hospital. It was a serious, serious tunnel network, a vast tunnel network. And so Israel is there and has taken it. And about a week ago, Israel went into southern Gaza, into Khan Yunis. That's sort of like, let's say, the second most important, the southern capital of Gaza for Hamas. And it may take, you know, some weeks, it may take a month and a half, but Israel is routing Hamas in any place that they go. And from what I saw in northern Gaza, the flattening, basically, of certain neighborhoods, that is the message, that is the picture that they're saying to Hezbollah, to Iran, if you go too far with us, this could happen to you.
Okay, meanwhile, there's a report today that the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, have begun pumping seawater into Hamas's complex of tunnels in Gaza. Will flooding the tunnels permanently demobilize them and reduce their effectiveness for Hamas?
So it's definitely one of a number of different solutions that Israel is using. Israel also has robots. Israel also has a variety of different kinds of explosives, special tunnel units that work on these things. So this is like sort of a newer method that's, you know, being tried out. My understanding, it's not necessarily a solve everything, because the tunnels go up, down, and all around, basically, and they're, again, you know, really going a lot of different directions, but, you know, to the extent that it can be used, it can be a very efficient way of getting rid of certain tunnels, of getting Hamas out of certain tunnels, and without risking Israeli soldiers' lives. A number of the Israeli soldiers who have been killed, and over 100 now, have been killed since the invasion. That's not counting the 1,200 Israelis who were killed on October 7th, but a number of the 100 that have been killed in the invasion have been killed around, you know, booby traps around tunnels.
And in terms of the hostages, is the assumption still that the hostages are being held prisoner in the tunnel network somewhere underneath Gaza?
Yeah. So basically, you know, originally there was a thought that some of them, you know, were being held in northern Gaza, some of them in southern Gaza, some of them above ground, some of them in the tunnels. And once Israel had control of basically all of northern Gaza, other than one neighborhood called Shijaya, where there's still some serious fighting going, but almost all of northern Gaza, it must be that the hostages, the remaining hostages, are in southern Gaza. A lot of them were expected to be in Khan Yunis, where Israel's fighting now. It is possible that in allowing some of the civilians to leave Khan Yunis and go even further south to Rafah or to a humanitarian zone within Khan Yunis, so maybe some of them have moved. You know, the next question I ask in an analysis I wrote in the Jerusalem Post this morning's paper is it possible that Israel may try to sort of take over almost all parts of Gaza while leaving a little strip for the top leaders and the hostages and then sort of put them under siege. It's hard to say right now, but again, Israel already has northern Gaza under control, and I think we'll have most of southern Gaza under control within either a period of weeks or a month and a half.
I have been fascinated by the fact that the Houthi rebels, who are pro-Iranian, Iranian-supported group who have been launching missiles at shipping. They apparently sent a rocket to try to take out a Norwegian tanker recently. Their activity in this war is particularly upsetting to the Saudis, isn't it? I mean, the Saudis have committed a great deal of resources to trying to subdue the Houthi rebels, no?
You're absolutely right. So there's, you know, sort of one of the vectors here is between the Houthis in Yemen, who are proxy of Iran, and the Saudis. And the Saudis really have tried to do a lot, both trying war, both trying diplomacy, to get the Houthis to sort of tone it down, at the very least, you know, cause chaos only in their own country and not beyond. A number of people say that one of the reasons that neither Israel nor the United States have come down harder on the Houthis is because of the Houthi threat to fire rockets at the Saudis if they do that. That is a big issue for the Saudis. And I'll come back to my recent book, Target Tehran, which really focuses on Iran. And the Houthis, again, are a proxy of Iran. Hezbollah is a proxy of Iran. Hamas is a proxy of Iran. All of this at the end of the day, even though our focus right now is on Hamas, Iran is not only a threat, you know, to Israel for the next 3 years, 5 years, 25 years. It's a global threat. It does not appear like, you know, even though the Biden administration tried very hard to make a nuclear deal with Iran to go back into the JCPOA, the deal from 2015, it doesn't look like that's going to happen. Iran's kicked out nuclear inspectors. So if Iran is going to use the Houthis and Hamas and Hezbollah to make, you know, trouble for the world, I do hope that, you know, there's going to be more focus on not just these proxies, but on Iran itself.
Let us continue this conversation with Yonah Jeremy Bob. He is the author of the new Amazon bestseller, Target Tehran, How Israel is Using Sabotage, Cyber Warfare, Assassination, and Secret Diplomacy to Stop a Nuclear Iran and to Create a New Middle East. What does that mean, and how much longer will the fighting go on in Gaza? We'll be right back with Yonah Jeremy Bob coming up.
God help me, I'm addicted to
The Michael Medved Show.
Most folks don't realize this fact. Our country is only 4 missed meals away from chaos, and those meals can vanish fast. In a national emergency, fragile supply chains break down and will wipe grocery store shelves clean in a matter of hours. Before this happens, there's something you should do today. Let's stock up on emergency food storage. My Patriot Supply is the company millions of American families trust for their emergency supplies. You should, too. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and secure their best-selling 3-month emergency food kits. Each kit contains delicious breakfasts, lunches, and dinners, averaging over 2,000 calories per day. My Patriot Supply also sells large solar generators, gravity-powered water filtration systems, off-grid room heaters for when the power goes out, heirloom seeds, and other survival necessities. Order by 3 p.m. and your items ship the same day, fast. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com right now. Those who know what's coming, prepare before the chaos starts. MyPatriotSupply.com.
USA News Update. A Rocky Mountain spotted fever outbreak in California may get worse thanks to a surge in migrants across the U.S.-Mexico border. A recent poll indicating that almost half of voters think the U.S. is spending too much money for aid to Ukraine in its conflict with Russia. The special counsel prosecuting former President Trump wants the Supreme Court to immediately decide Trump's immunity claim. White House correspondent and lawyer John Decker says a high court response could go one of two ways. They could decide to not get involved or to immediately get involved. The Biden administration defending its veto of a UN resolution for an immediate Israel-Hamas ceasefire, saying that a general ceasefire could empower Hamas leaders to control Gaza. Corey Myers, USA News.
We depend on our drinking water supply daily, but where does that water come from? Your water provider encourages you to get to know your local water source so together we can protect and preserve it. The investments we make as a community to protect our water source now ensure we have a sustainable drinking water supply for the future. Visit drinktap.org to learn more. This message is brought to you by the American Water Works Association and your local water provider.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to produce an endless supply of nano-sized silver solutions right from the convenience of your home. Silver Lung. With the addition of our unique lung delivery system, respiratory infections are targeted directly, where traditional oral administration simply cannot reach. This pioneering method also preserves the original particle sizes and delivers your silver solution directly into the bloodstream. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at silverlungs.com. That's silverlungs.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
Our guest, Yonah Jeremy Bob, is the Jerusalem Post senior military correspondent. He has also served in top Israeli ministries with posts at the IDF, the Foreign Ministry, and the Justice Ministry of the government. He's also the author of the new Amazon bestseller, Target Tehran, how Israel is using sabotage, cyber warfare, assassination, and secret diplomacy to stop a nuclear Iran and create a new Middle East. Do you believe or do you know that planning for a potential strike to stop the nuclear program in Iran, is that still going forward with all of the immediate dangers regarding Hezbollah and Hamas?
Definitely the plan is still out there. I can say that only a few months before this current war, I was in a classified briefing where I saw with extreme specificity that I obviously can't go into the degree of planning. And if you can sort of see from the reporting the number of targets that Israel's artificial intelligence and big data machine have been able to dig up in Gaza, imagine applying that to Iran. There's a whole team that was made to work on this in Iran using the same tools. And so if 5 years ago or 10 years ago, an Israeli preemptive strike in Iran would have been more narrowly limited to just the nuclear program and taking out its air defense in order to take out the nuclear program, what you would see if Israel said, you know, we need to take the risk because Iran is going to cross the line, the attack would be a lot more vast today than it would have been in the past.
With that in the background, there has been a great deal of concern about the level of casualties, despite the fact that those casualties, of course, are often misstated in the American press because they will say 17,000 people have died, according to the Hamas Health Ministry. And today, for the first time I saw in the Associated Press, they indicated that many of those people may, in fact, have been Hamas fighters. But with all of that going on, Do you believe that the vigor of the Israeli attack on Hamas and the determination against Hamas has done anything to undermine or actually to improve the chances of agreements and cooperation between Israel and other Arab states like Saudi Arabia?
It's a very complicated question. Let's start off with the goal of Israel's counter-invasion of Gaza. I say counter-invasion because we have to remember that this started with the Hamas invasion of 3,000 terrorists or fighters, whatever you want to call them, into Israel, killing 1,200 people, mostly civilians, including, really slaughtering, women, elderly, babies. So that's how this started. And the goal of Israel was to defeat Hamas so that Hamas would not be able to do that again. Now, that in the short term has had negative repercussions for Israel's relations with just about every Arab country in the region. Israel is not popular right now. That said, if you look at in the book, Target Tehran, there are points where Israel did something aggressive, whether it's going against the U.S. about the nuclear deal, or whether it's daring Mossad operations to seize Iran's nuclear secrets or to blow up some of its nuclear facilities, that when the Sunni Arabs, who have been enemies of Shiites and Iran for much, much longer than whatever is going on between, Muslims and Jews, the Sunnis and Shiites have been at war much longer time.
Against each other.
Exactly, right. So when they saw that, they said, hey, this country, Israel, could be a staunch ally. If the United States is withdrawing from the Middle East, we can count on Israel to help in our defense. And so if the outcome of all of this is Israel does finally defeat Hamas, and there is more stability in the region, I don't know if that's going to be the outcome. I think Israel is going to defeat Hamas militarily. If, 6 months from now or 6 years from now, will Gaza be more stable? I don't know. But if that's the outcome, then I think you will see a lot of these countries flocking back to Israel because they respect strength, they respect stability, and at the end of the day, most of these countries didn't like Hamas either. Hamas is connected to the Muslim Brotherhood, which tried, to take over Egypt and has tried to take over other Sunni countries. And so a lot of this is sort of, we're in the in-between phase where they're worried about the casualty count, the civilian casualty count, as you pointed out. But they're also worried what's going to be the outcome. Is this going to make the region more or less stable? And if it makes the region more stable, then in the end, I think they'll come back to Israel.
There's a news alert today where President Biden, apparently speaking off the cuff, told donors that Israel is losing support and that Netanyahu must change his government. What do you make of that? How do you think that news will be received in Israel?
So I have to be a little bit careful here. I'm not a political analyst. So I'm not going to step too far into this. What I will say is that the Jerusalem Post editorial page has many times over the last year plus taken issue with people like Itamar Ben-Gvir as being too radical and having a negative impact on the government, a negative impact on Netanyahu, a negative impact on the country. So if, what Biden is saying is it would be better if there were more moderates in the government and less people like Ben-Gvir, there are a lot of Israelis that would agree with that, frankly. What will Netanyahu do with that? Netanyahu's final sort of, calculus is, like most politicians, staying in power. So I don't think he doesn't like Ben-Gvir either. There was a very close to the election, there was an event where Ben-Gvir showed up and Netanyahu made sure to leave the stage so they wouldn't be photographed together. But he needs Ben-Gvir, or he thinks he needs Ben-Gvir. So unless he has some replacement, I don't see him tossing Ben-Gvir. But again, everything is going to be very dynamic. There's going to be a point where this war, or the main part of the war, is going to wrap up. And there could be new elections, the government could fall, and then everything, could be reordered.
The estimate in an Associated Press piece today by Yoav Gallant, the Minister of Defense, is that it would take another month to complete the work of the IDF in Gaza, perhaps another 6 weeks or even 2 months. Do you have any sense of whether that's a reasonable estimate?
Those are the consistent numbers that I've heard from defense officials even before this, even, you know, 3 weeks ago, 5 weeks ago, talking about basically mid to the end of January to try to sort of finish what they call sort of the main stage of the war. And then after that, you're talking about still an insurgency, right? You look at the United States, quote-unquote, won in Iraq, won in Afghanistan, and then they faced an extensive insurgency. So everybody in Israel is expecting that even once... What's the difference between a main war and an insurgency? The main war, Hamas is fighting battles, you know, coherent, coordinated battles with hundreds of its soldiers, terrorists, whatever you want to call them, fighting against Israeli soldiers, basically almost army to army. That'll be over, and you'll have more hit-and-run guerrilla warfare tactics, 5, 10 Hamas forces attacking, you know, one small Israeli position here, one small Israeli position there, and that could go on for a very long time. They're estimating that would go on for 3 to 9 months, but nobody really knows how long that will go on for.
And this, of course, is assuming some Israeli continued presence in Gaza. There's not going to be a repeat of 2005 where Israel left Gaza completely and decisively.
Right. Israel is planning to have some sort of security zone, not just in the north, but running all along the border, because Gaza, if you look at maps, runs along various parts of the Israeli border, and that could be for a while. That could be, you know, until Israel feels that the situation in Gaza has changed enough that it can withdraw from that. In the meantime, Israel will you know, already, quote-unquote, give Gaza over to somebody else to sort of manage the day-to-day affairs of Gaza, but in terms of security, it's looking to maintain the security zone probably for some time.
We will see what that means. Appreciate your work. People can find out about Mr. Bob's contributions at michaelmedved.com. Instability, vulnerability, uncertainty, volatility, precarious, unpredictable. Now, all of those words describe our banking system right now, as evidenced by the recent collapse of major banks. Michael Medved here for Amfed Coin and Bullion. This was the second largest bank failure in history, and the Federal Reserve has been scrambling to keep this bank run from spreading. Now, if you feel uneasy about having too much money sitting in the bank, you're not alone. Gold, silver, and platinum have had recent gains as investors look for safe places to park their money. Now more than ever, you need to call my good friends Nick Grovich and Company, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion. I've been doing business with Nick for many years, and I wouldn't go anywhere else. Nick and his team of specialists will provide you with personalized attention, honest information, and sound advice. If you're interested in buying or selling, call Amfed Coin and Bullion, 800-221-7694, 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. A lot of times on the Michael Medved Show, we're talking about the present, things that just happened. Sometimes we try to look toward the future, but we also try very seriously to look toward the past. And that's why it's a very good idea right now in this present moment to sign up as a Medhead Plus member. It gives you access to close to 100 history programs on the Medved Show, ranging from the American Revolution to the origins of the State of Israel to the history of political parties in the United States and the Constitution and world struggles like World War I and World War II, and yes, the Vietnam War. All available to you at a minuscule cost of 22 cents a day. Plus access to our show 24/7. Go to MedvedHistoryStore.com. You spend a little, you learn a lot.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who help people that have been injured or wronged. If you've been involved in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or injured at work, you have rights and you may be entitled to money for your suffering. Don't accept an offer you get from an insurance company until you talk to a lawyer. And we represent some of the best personal injury lawyers you can find. Tough lawyers that will fight to win your case. And they're so good they stake their reputation on it by only getting paid if you win. So if you've been in a serious car, truck, or motorcycle accident or hurt on the job, find out today for free what kind of compensation you may be entitled to. Call the legal helpline right now.
800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. 800-524-3810. That's 800-524-3810.
This wonderful holiday season. And first of all, it's very interesting talking to Yonah Jeremy Bob, that correspondent for the Jerusalem Post. He lives in Modi'in, which is a very historic part of Israel. That's where the entire story of Hanukkah originated. So very appropriate for this time of year. And for this time of year, whether you're celebrating Hanukkah or winter solstice or the great Christmas holiday, the fact is that people think of giving gifts, sharing some of the joy and the light of the season. One gift that is particularly appropriate is my most recent book, which is called God's Hand on America, Divine Providence in the Modern Era. And it includes some very important background about the American and Christian contribution to the Zionist movement, to the idea of the rebuilding of a Jewish homeland. And the book is available in exclusive, autographed, personally by me, hardcover copy. And if you get the book, you get a free Medved History Store program, which is called The Secret History of the Christmas Holiday, which is one of the most popular of all the history programs we've ever done. You would get that on CD. It's a free lecture and one that I think you will enjoy immensely. So go to michaelmedved.com. Or you can go directly to MedvedHistoryStore.com and get your copy of God's Hand on America, autographed, hardcover, and first edition, by the way, and together with the special CD bonus, The Secret History of the Christmas Holiday. Meanwhile, there is such a wonderful column. Sometimes you read things and you try to highlight. This is what I do. You try to highlight the paragraphs that are particularly important that I want to share with people. And the new column by Walter Russell Mead that I've spoken about just for moments before is one of those columns where it is just full of wisdom and insight and stuff that people should know. The headline is October 7 attack made Israel stronger. And it said this, Jews in liberal Western countries initially scoffed at Herzl's Zionist idea of a return to the homeland. And he's right about that. But the grim course of 20th century history vindicated Herzl's insights and recruited brilliant disciples and able campaigners into the Zionist camp. Decisions in the U.S. and elsewhere to slam the door on desperate Jewish refugees from the Nazis further strengthened the appeal of Zionism to the world's Jews. Such decisions also brought to Palestine the committed Zionist recruits without whom the Jewish community there could never have won its independence or built a state. In perhaps the greatest instance of Jew haters shooting themselves in the foot, vindictive Middle Eastern mobs and governments forced some 850,000 Jews to flee to Israel in the aftermath of the War of Independence. Those immigrants, those refugees, and their descendants feel no guilt for Palestinian dispossession and are skeptical of Arab intentions because they themselves were refugees and driven out, really on pain of death, from Arab nations like Morocco and Iran, not an Arab nation, but a Muslim nation, and Iraq and Egypt. And in fact, there was a president of Israel who was born in Tehran. But what's amazing, and most people don't realize, is that they are, he says, a plurality of Israeli Jews today. No, they are a majority of Israeli Jews. 55% are people who are not refugees from the Holocaust, were not refugees from Europe, were not European colonialists. They weren't from Europe. They were from North Africa and the Middle East. And for Israel, bad Palestinian strategy, writes Walter Russell Mead, for Israel, bad Palestinian strategy is the gift that keeps on giving. Over the decades, Palestinian resistance movements have consistently been too weak and fragmented to threaten Israel's survival. Nevertheless, their constant low-level threat led Israelis to develop the first-class defense and technology capabilities that make it an indispensable partner for countries all over the world. The unspeakable barbarity of the Hamas attacks has again united and strengthened Israel while accomplishing nothing for the Palestinian people. The Jew haters who overshadowed more peaceful and responsive demonstrators across the U.S. streets and campuses have deeply damaged the Palestinian cause with centrist opinion. Such displays remind Americans that anti-Jewish bigotry and the ignorance it fosters threaten the foundations of American life. This is profound and important. Meanwhile, there's also an important decision coming up about what the Congress is going to do to provide the aid that President Biden is seeking for Israel and the aid that he's seeking for Ukraine and Taiwan, and at the same time to provide some strengthening of the U.S. border. Jim Garrity writes in the National Review, "You will notice this week that the debate over additional Ukraine aid is almost always framed as those stubborn and intransigent isolationist Republicans aren't willing to help Ukraine. And it is true enough that Republicans insist that one of their top priorities, border security, gets funded alongside the aid for Ukraine, as well as Taiwan and Israel." House Speaker Mike Johnson said at a Wall Street Journal summit yesterday, "My message to Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky will be the same as it's been to the president," meaning Joe Biden. "This is an important battle for all the reasons we know, but I don't think it's a radical proposition to say that if we're going to have a national security supplemental package, it ought to begin with our own national security." But notice how rarely writes Jim Garrity. President Biden and congressional Democrats are portrayed as stubborn or intransigent for refusing to make the border security changes that Republicans want in order to reach a deal on Ukraine. And no, Republicans are not demanding the construction of a big, beautiful wall from the Gulf of Mexico to the Pacific, although their offer does call for resuming the border fencing construction that Biden canceled at the start of his presidency. Senate Republicans want the current overload system of asylum claims to be changed so that not everybody who shows up at the border and says they're seeking asylum gets to stay in the country indefinitely. Senate Republican demands include a set of restrictive changes to U.S. asylum law, including a rule that would render migrants ineligible for asylum if they transited through a third country without seeking refuge there before reaching American soil. If you think that's some kind of mad xenophobic proposal, let's check in with two senators who are usually portrayed as reasonable voices for common sense. And then he talks about Senator John Fetterman, who supports some of these changes, and Mitt Romney. And Romney said on Meet the Press on Sunday, "Well, I don't know specifically how quickly the money has to get to Ukraine, the armament has to get to Ukraine, whether we could wait until January, but I can say just a couple of things. One is, it's not just Republicans that are holding a hard line, it's Democrats that are holding a hard line. Either side can move and get this done. And here's the position of my side and our side. And that is, we have gone from 1,000, 2,000 encounters, illegal encounters, at the border a day under the three prior presidents, under Bush, Obama, and Trump. 1,000 to 2,000 a day. Now we're looking at 10,000 to 12,000 a day. As Pennsylvania John Fetterman said, we're basically seeing a city the size of Pittsburgh show up at the border every month. We're at a rate of incursions into this country of about 4 million a year. That's larger than the population of 24 of our states. So we want to solve that to secure the border. I just saw the President of the United States say that we've got to secure the border. He's right. So any effort that doesn't do that will be rejected by Republicans. We want to get it back to the level that existed under the three prior presidents." And but the point over here is what Mitt Romney...
There's a lot of talk all over the internet these days about the remarkable benefits of Carbon 60, and baby boomers are especially excited about it. Whatever generation you're in, if you want more energy, better health, and a boost in vitality, we invite you to try Gresca's Carbon 60, a stunning development in free radical destruction. Being much smaller in size than conventional antioxidants derived from fruits and vegetables, it is far more bioavailable to quickly mend the toxin-crippled cells in your body. Gresca's Carbon 60 is the only C60 product that is made without the use of undesirable solvents. The only one. Gresca's Carbon 60 was developed by a brilliant NASA carbon scientist, and 95% report positive results from this Nobel Prize-winning technology in just 4 days. Visit C-60.com. That's C-60.com or call 720-600-6040.
I had no idea it would destroy my life, but before it happened, I had a successful business in Austin, Texas. Everyone laughed at me when I shut that business down, but I could not ignore the wake-up call. I was volunteering on a project to get locally grown food into a school. That project was a complete failure, and I discovered that there were few local farmers. There's only 4 days' worth of food in the grocery stores, and everything comes 1,500 miles via a just-in-time trucking system. I lost friends and family who told me I was crazy to worry about that, but I kept at it. I'm Marjorie Wildcraft. Those of us who know what's going on in the world know you need to become self-reliant before the dollar collapses. I've created a free webinar at gcnfood.com. I can show you, like I've shown hundreds of thousands of people, how to grow lots of food, even if you have no experience, you're older, or you're out of shape. Do it now, before the stores are boarded up and food is not available at any price. Go to gcnfood.com, gcnfood.com.